How Is Your Run Today is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance.
Go to healthiq.com/HWYRT to support this show and see if you qualify.
This episode of How Was Your Run Today was recorded at the WGBH studio in the Boston Public Library, located on the finish line of the Boston Marathon in Copley Square.
Brian, today is one of those days where there's a lot going on in the show.
There is. It's a full show.
It's a full show, so let's not dilly-dally with the standard stuff. Well, okay, go ahead. Ask me the question. Go ahead.
Peter, how was your run today?
Brian, thanks so much for asking. Today's run was a 5K outdoors, 50 degrees, bright sunshine, a little bit of wind, but I got to tell you, man, to run in shorts is an amazing thing in January. It's a great, great deal.
Peter, I'm just happy that I can put on shorts without using a grabber or asking someone in my family to pull them on for me.
Or a shoehorn. You look good, though. Honestly, sitting here at the Boston Public Library, WGBH studio, steps away from the finish line of the Boston Marathon, you look extremely athletic in your wicking away gear.
I can't imagine. It's just the clothes. I'm not athletic.
You're
all
image, no substance. Where's the content, Brian?
I mean, I'm doing the PT.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I was able to do 10 minutes on the elliptical today, and it was a lot of work. Zero resistance. It's like, oh my gosh, is this what running is like? This is hard.
Yeah, running's hard.
But it was also wonderful because I worked up a sweat for the first time since the Millinocket Marathon post-surgery, but it's going to be a long road. And to that point,
yeah,
I have something to throw out there, Peter.
Throw it out, man.
Okay, so I am rebuilding. Rebuilding Brian. That's the project I'm under this year.
Bigger, better, stronger Brian.
And I have signed up for a free race at the end of the year. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Millinocket
Marathon. That's right. I've signed up for the half marathon. We'll see how I'm doing. I may extend it, but I'm pretty much working on the half. You never know what the weather's going to be, so we'll see. I'm not going to challenge myself with a marathon, but I want a challenge. And this is what I'm going to put to you and listeners. If anybody wants to write in, use hashtag RebuildBrian and give me a challenge. It's not necessarily a particular race, but it could be. It could be a distance, could be a speed time, could be a PR, could be something like a whole lot of stadium stairs. It could be something like, I don't know.
Could it be I have a couch to move?
Nope.
RebuildBrian.
No.
Hashtag rebuild,
no.
Brian.
And the thing is, I'm working toward like when I can start running again, like when I'm actually going to be active again and safe through the recovery from my surgery. So we're looking at like May for me really being able to beginning to put in serious training. So probably something in the fall.
Yeah.
And I could just go and run all the races that I've run in past years because that's a nice baseline. I know what I could be shooting for. You're always trying to like better your time or whatever. But is there some kind of crazy challenge? Maybe somebody's doing something for the first time and they want me to join them. I don't know.
Brian, we're about to have two guests, and during the interview,
you completely ignored me.
I'm gonna
100%.
No, that's not at all what I just... You haven't let me finish.
I think we've been doing this too long, Peter.
We're about to be joined by two people, and during that interview, we talk about the Falmouth race in August.
Yes.
Maybe that's a race for you to get interested in.
Maybe.
See what I did there? How about this? How about a little race in Utica the second weekend of July?
I have scheduling conflicts.
You don't really. You don't. You don't.
Okay.
You don't. You could just come to that race.
If you're within the sound of my voice.
Hashtag rebuild Brian.
I'm speaking to you and not Peter right now.
Hashtag help me move a couch.
I want you to help me find a challenging goal, probably at the end of the summer or in the beginning of the fall.
So you're looking for the back six.
I'm not even listening to you right now.
Back six. The July on.
Hashtag rebuild Brian. Thank you. Next.
Brian, here's a challenge in the near future. Get on out Tuesday, February 13th.
At night.
6 to 9 p.m. We're going to be over at the Heartbreak Hill Running Company running studio.
Treadmill studio.
In Cambridge, Massachusetts for the first annual HHRC and HWYRT present Everyone in Boston Loves to Run Love Fest 2018.
You know, you say it's the first annual. It's not unlike the podcast extravaganza, but I like Everybody in Boston Loves to Run Love Fest. I love it.
So it's the first annual Everybody in Boston Loves to Run Love Fest 2018. That's true. And if you add the year there, it's the only time it'll be the first annual.
That's right. And next year when we do it again, we'll have a different name for it.
It'd be the first annual something, 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 yeah. 2019. I know Coach Dan had an event last Valentine's Day. It'll be very similar to that one, but it will also be very similar to our podcast extravaganza. There's going to be many things going on there. The biggest of which, though, is it's a raise of funds for a charity runner running the Boston Marathon. So at the end of the night...
Which runner?
We don't know yet.
Oh, it's a raffle.
It's a raffle.
Nice.
You got to be there to get the cash.
That's right.
But other things happening there will be running classes in the high-end running gym.
There's going to be a photography booth.
There'll be a photography booth. You and I will be there recording for the show.
Get famous.
Well, as famous as we can get.
Fame.
It's okay.
Famous.
It doesn't help me get dinner reservations anywhere yet.
Famous Amos cookies. Remember those?
Those won't be there, but there might be some other beverages there or snacks.
And merchandise. Running merchandise. With a lot of Broken Heart logos on it.
That's
I love
exactly
it all.
Right. And maybe some loud music. So if you're in the area, that is Tuesday, February 13th, Valentine's Day Eve.
That's right. You're not doing anything. Doing anything.
Just come on out, 6 to 9 p.m.
Run over.
February 13th.
Just run down.
Heartbreak Hill Running Company Running Studio, Mass Ave in Cambridge, for the first annual HHRC and HWIRT present Everyone in Boston Loves to Run Love Fest 2018.
Yay! Peter, on Instagram, Coach Dan Fitzgerald from Heartbreak Hill Running Company.
Oh, that's amazing.
Put a video
it's
out.
It's an amazing video.
About Shalane Flanagan's like four steps to being a superstar or something like that.
I watched it the first time I watched
it's
it without
so
sound and it was hilarious. And then I listened to it with sound. It's infinitely better with sound.
It is so good.
It's so good.
I only wish we could do something as funny as that video. I loved it. I had to give him the laughing and crying face emoji. As a reply, it's all I could come up with because I was devastated by its cleverness.
It's very good.
And I hope that when Shalane comes on our show as a guest, our future guest.
Yes.
Lori Richmond, work this. We can also make a funny video about how she's our best friend.
That would be terrific. I think that all those things will happen. Brian, people have been writing in droves. The email actually got clogged up. We actually had to call an email plumber to unclog the pipe where all the emails come streaming into the show. And people have been saying, what happened to the Igor Babushkin Peter Villa departure from the Clyde Army deal? Remember that thread? Where'd that go?
Do you remember leaving the Clyde Army?
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
You just watch yourself there, surgery.
It's just a question.
Okay.
It's just a question.
Well, anyway, it's time, now that the month is over and we're entering February.
Yes.
It's time to check in. And Igor was good enough to reach out to me at the crack of dawn this morning and wake me from my slumber with an update.
Peter and Igor, I have a question for you. How much do you weigh?
Okay, very good. So, yeah, I think it's appropriate right now in order to do this justice. Would you spin me the classic Clyde Army countdown, please? Thank you. Okay. So when he ran Millinocket, he was a pretty sturdy 225.
Okay.
But he had a battle plan where he was going to go to a friend's wedding on New Year's Eve. So he knew he was going to stop running and start eating and drinking.
Okay. Great time for a wedding. Wow, that's exciting. You always have a party on your anniversary.
So he walked into 2018 at an even more solid 232 pounds.
Wait, he gained 7 pounds?
In like three weeks, yeah. Oof. He did a really good job. But that's good, though. You want to have a high starting point for the drastic loss.
Okay.
I applaud him for his efforts.
That's fine.
So sure enough...
Not sure it's a good plan, but okay.
Okay, but sure enough, today, this morning, he was 221.6.
Well, he's getting there.
He is doing it.
Doing it.
So that is over a 10-pound loss in the first month. The
Love
man
it.
Is doing it.
Well, it's really a 4-pound loss. From
225. Well, from 225, right, okay. Good
from call. When you announced it.
That's fine.
But I won't take that away.
No, that's totally cool. So congratulations, Igor. You've won this first round because I'm exactly the same weight I was when I ran Millinocket.
Not terrible.
No, but I'm 226. I'm not thin. I'm not. I'm not slight of frame. I'm 226 pounds, but I feel great.
Well, that's important.
And my attitude is excellent.
That's wonderful.
I will say that between Millinocket and now, I did a little pufferfish action. Got a little big. By about 3 or 4 pounds. Not his style. He got a little crazy.
So then what
there.
You're saying is you have lost 3 or 4 pounds.
I guess, but I didn't really give us any sort of starting point. So to reframe this, he's at 221.6,
yes.
And I'm at 226.
Okay.
I don't really care that he was at 232. I've just given our baselines, and now we'll see how we do. Because I'm 1,000 years older than he is.
Peter, as fascinating as this is...
Yeah.
Glide Army.
I hope you both win.
I do, too. We're both winners. That's a good call. Brian, we're joined today by two people from the Back on My Feet Boston chapter. Director of the Boston chapter, Elizabeth Carr, will be joining us in a minute, as will runner for the team, Matt Norton.
Peter, I really enjoyed our conversation with these guys, and I think our listeners will too. Matt has an incredible story through recovery and how running has changed his life, and that's not just words. That's the real deal, changing your life.
That is the real deal.
I have to say, he's putting in serious miles for his first marathon. He's going to do just fine.
He's going to do fine. And actually,
he's putting in a lot of miles.
Did you notice he has the runner frame, too?
Oh,
like
yes.
He really does look the part.
Yeah, he shook off his jacket and he disappeared.
Yep. He's going to be fine. But let's go now and to that very good, solid interview we just had with Elizabeth and Matt of Back on My Feet. Elizabeth, Matt, thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having us.
How was your run today?
Well, I actually didn't run today. So I am working later, and then I'm running my long run tomorrow.
How was your run yesterday?
My run yesterday was fabulous. It was just delightful.
All right. Yeah. And it was a good distance?
Yeah, it was a good distance. 7 miles. It was comfortable, easy pace. No one was around, so...
And what are you looking at tomorrow for a distance?
I'm looking at 16.
That's serious.
Oh. Yeah. That seems so much to me now. That seems like so much, Brian. I can't imagine 16.
It's a lot. At least you're going to have decent weather. Although, when are you starting your 60-mile run? What time of day?
Well, unfortunately, it's going to have to be after work, so probably around 4 or 5 o'clock.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. So that'll take you into... Is the weather supposed to change tomorrow? Are we supposed to get a little cooler, or is it going to be nice still?
You know what? I would love it if it's still nice, but it's probably going to be a little bit cooler.
Well, that's long as there's no snow and ice and rain.
You
want to
know what? No snow and ice, and I'm good. Yeah.
Have you, you're training, let's just get right out to it. You're training for the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
Which is in a couple of months.
Yep.
Is this your first marathon or your first Boston?
It's my first marathon.
Well,
which also makes it his first Boston.
That is true, yes.
Right?
But that means that you automatically set a PR.
That's the best part about
that
it.
That is the best part. And in my case, it stands as the PR, even if you try it again. Like, I don't know why.
So, in your case, yeah.
Yeah.
So 16, is that the longest distance you've run so far?
No. The longest I've done thus far is 18.
Okay, so wow, you have a training plan that brings you really far. You must be super fast.
I wouldn't say super fast. I could just go for a long time.
Okay, so well, that's, you know, that is one really good trait to have as a marathon runner. So
yeah.
I'm seeing big things for you.
Thanks.
16
thanks.
For me is like that's horrible. That's way too far. I'm crawling by the end of it.
Right now, the way I'm doing it, 8 would be unbelievably long for me. Like, I did 3 today, and they felt great.
Peter, yeah. I spent 10 minutes on the elliptical machine, and it felt like
from massive,
a million
massive
miles.
Hip surgery.
That's true.
Thing.
I know.
Forgive yourself, man. Move on. Elizabeth, you mentioned off mic a little track workout this morning with the group.
I did. I had a track workout out on the Westwood High School track.
It's supposed to be great.
It was beautiful, but it was very windy and freezing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So you had looked at that forecast and saw a high of 50 and thought, maybe this is going to be nice. And it was not so nice, still wintery.
I knew it was going to be really cold this morning. Yeah. So I have 15 tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
So you are you also training for Boston?
It's funny. I'm doing this, helping the back on my feet marathon runners train. And I decided, I'm not going to run Boston this year. I've done Boston, taken a year off. But I stupidly signed myself up for a marathon 2 weeks before Boston. So, poor planning.
Now, which one's that?
The Cheap Marathon out in Salisbury.
Oh, okay.
Now it's a looped course.
How many loops?
6 loops of 4.36 miles.
You know, when you break it down like that, that makes the marathon seem totally doable. So
yeah, actually, yeah. I could get on board with that. Like, I probably should have started with that.
Well, you were saying that one of your most previous long runs was in a parking lot, right, Matt? So that's similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So most of my runs, I loop because I park my car somewhere. Yeah. And my biggest concern is that I'm going to run out of energy miles away from my car. It's happened once before.
Yeah.
That actually is an interesting training fear because I have it all the time, especially going distance.
Absolutely.
And I think it hurts my time. My time's slow anyway, but because I don't run fast, because I say, I'm going to have to save my energy, when really you should be in the right shape to do whatever tempo you want. Are you thinking about tempo or speed at all, Matt? Or just survival?
Honestly, just survival.
Yes.
I mean, I would like to complete the marathon in a certain amount of time, but I would just like to complete it. I just really want to cross the finish line. Whether I do that 10 minutes a mile or 15 minutes a mile, I don't care. I just want to cross that finish line.
Well, you will, no doubt. But the only thing you can't control is that day's weather.
True.
And we talk about that a lot. You can train all you want, and it's great to train here in New England because you'll probably experience something that's going to happen that day, whether it's heat or cold or rain or snow or wind or something.
At some point in your training,
you'll experience that. But you're never really ready for that day in terms of what it chooses to give you, unless it gives you something like today. I mean, today is sunny and 50. Although it's a little windy, and that would, over 26 miles, you would feel that wind. You'd be like, that's enough.
Yeah.
The best thing about Boston is it's the only course I've never gotten lost on. Because there's so many people in front of me.
There's no false turns.
That's right.
I'm the girl who got lost during a 20-mile race and called my friend because my watch said I was at 20 miles, which means I should be at the finish line.
Everybody?
And I get on my phone and say, I'm at a Pep Boys. You need anything? There's also a Walmart across the street.
Yeah.
So he goes, I don't know where you are, but I'm coming to get you. And it was like a Chevy Chase movie. I jumped into his car. He's on the phone with the race director going, don't break the finish line down yet. She's coming.
She's earned it.
So I hopped out of the car about a mile from the finish line and had all this energy, sprinted, and I still didn't finish last, so I consider it a success.
How far off course were you?
I ran 22 miles.
Oh my goodness. How did that happen?
One of the signs had blown down for a turn, and all of a sudden I was like, I'm at Pep Boys.
Yeah.
This is not where I need to be.
Well, this explains why you're doing the 4-loop race, because you most likely will know where you six loop, you'll know where you are.
You'll be able
get lost.
Hopefully. You'll be able to see where you're coming from and where you're going at the same time at all points in the race, right?
That's correct. That's the secret to my success, really. As long as I don't get lost, I feel like it's a win.
Matt, have you had a chance to run some of the course here in Boston?
I have not, no. Oh. But
follow the crowd.
Yeah. I kind of figured.
You won't get lost.
Don't hop the barricades and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I know there are opportunities to do it. I haven't had the time. I've got a lot on my plate between all of this. But I'll fit it in. I'm not worried.
Yeah, try the hills out at some point.
Yeah.
Just so you know. It makes a difference.
Practice a lot of downhills.
And actually, we did a thing where, gosh, I don't know, like 4 days before, 5 days before, we got in a car and we just slowly drove it from Hopkinton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fascinating.
Yeah.
To see it, a little bit faster than what you're running, but to know, oh my gosh, okay, so this is, the first 6 miles is pretty much downhill. Oh, okay, this will be great. Oh my gosh, the next 7 miles are all uphill. This will be awful. But it gives you an idea of, I can only imagine people from out of town when they show up and they get bussed out, because it takes a long time to get bussed out. I don't know why, because it's not really that far, but there's something psychologically.
I think it's 26 miles.
Maybe. It's about 26, yeah. I think, 0.2 miles out, but it seems so much farther when you first do it, and it's like, oh, okay. Brian, do you miss it?
Miss what?
Running that course.
No. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
you have to forget it long enough to want to do it again.
I like training on it.
I'm not ready to do it again. I love training, especially the last 10 miles.
But to Matt's really point, fun. I like training on it for long distance because if I bring my Charlie card with me, I'll just hop on the streetcar and I'll just call you
Rosie.
I know,
Rosie Ruiz.
And I know where I can get a burrito at any point, really.
There's some good burrito joints.
See, I have the course mapped out by restrooms mm-hmm. I can use.
Yes.
That's also a key element to my training plan.
Well, it's vital.
Yes, exactly.
And then the day of the race, there's just so many.
Yeah.
You can just, you could do a tour of all of them. But now you're really here to discuss the great cause, Back on My Feet. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So we're so lucky that Matt's running for us this year. Back on My Feet is a national nonprofit that seeks to combat homelessness through the power of running and community and employment and housing resources. So basically, once people come out 3 days a week with us at 5:45 or 6:30 in the morning, and have been with us for a month and they have 90% attendance, we move them into a program called Next Steps. And what Next Steps does is you tell us where your pain points are, we're gonna remove those barriers and help you find a way to get back into school, get a job, get housing, get training. We have great training plans for employment. And so basically, you know, you're really committed to this journey as much as we are. Mm. And it's just amazing to see what people have done.
And how big's the team this year?
We have 16 marathon runners.
Wow. Is that the biggest you've had at this point?
I think last year we had 15. So one more this year.
And Matt, you're that one more?
I guess so, yes.
He is.
So Matt, what does the program mean for you?
I would say about a year and a half ago, I was living in a halfway house, and that is how I got introduced to Back on My Feet. And running was like the first thing I did to start taking better care of my health. And it made such a huge difference in my life. Like years ago, when I was in the throes of like my drug addiction and I was homeless and I didn't think I had any hope left, it just amazes me. I've come miles from where I used to be, and a program like this, if it can save my life, it can save others. So
had you been a runner in your previous years?
No. You want to know what I come from a family where, like, my brothers were varsity athletes, mm-hmm. and, like, I was not the athletic one. Like, I mean, the only thing I knew what to do when I first, like, wanted to start taking better care of my health was run. And I remember the first time I ran, and I was, like, a pack-a-day, like, smoker while I was quitting drugs. And yet somehow I could run 5 miles like it was nothing.
Wow.
And that's when I realized, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I might be good at this. So let's see where I can take it. And I knew after running my first like 5K, I was like, I want to run the Boston Marathon someday. Like crossing that finish line at the Boston Marathon is like kind of the whole metaphor of like crossing the finish line for me, like in life, moving past like this addiction,
yeah.
moving past like the rough time in my life and looking forward. Like I want to leave it all out. Sorry. No. All out of the course. So
you will. I mean, you will, because it takes it from you a little bit, but you also offer it. Yeah. You know what I mean? No,
seriously. It takes yeah. everything you can give it.
It takes everything yeah. you can give it, and that is the place to put it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much support on that course. It's astounding. And I assume you'll be wearing something that will say back on my feet, and people will be able to identify you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And now you're also doing a charity raise for this. Is that right?
That's yep. right. He's fundraising on our behalf.
Okay. And we'll make sure to put that on our webpage and promote that to help you out there. How's it going so far? Because that's a hard thing to do.
That was actually, I think I was more concerned about the fundraising than I was actually about racing.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel like I have a story that touches a whole lot of people's hearts.
Absolutely.
Because everybody knows somebody or has been touched by addiction. And everyone loves a comeback story, and I want to be that comeback story. And not just for people that suffer with addiction. Like, anybody that wants to make a change in their life, you can. It's doable. Like, you can do anything you set your mind to. You just got to try. So,
now, yeah. had running started for you before you heard about the Back on My Feet organization?
Yeah. So, the first time I entered a rehab facility, it was kind of like a shelter.
Yeah.
And they had treadmills there. So all the other guys would use like the weights. I didn't know how to use any of them. So I stayed away from that. So I just hopped on the treadmill, and we didn't get like much like time to like go outdoors or like be active. So this was how to like kind of be active and like kind of, I don't know. Every time I got on that treadmill, like it felt like a release. Like,
yeah.
Once I finally ended up at the Hope House, which was probably about a couple years later, that's where I met Back on My Feet. And, you know, it amazed me what they did for people there. And yeah, so that's really how like running kind of started for me. But I think it was Back on My Feet really kind of made it a passion.
Yeah, and Back on My Feet, Hope House happens to be part of our Team Hope, which we have six teams across the city. So they are from multiple facilities. So there might be someone from Pine Street. There might be someone from Boston Healthcare for the Homeless. We get referrals from all, you know, all places. So we have a wide geographic area. We also have teams in Quincy and Somerville. So we have a lot of people who are out there at 5:45 in the morning on the streets of Boston.
And all six teams are through the Boston chapter, though, is that right?
That's right.
But it's a national organization. How many chapters are there nationally?
There are 12.
Okay.
Boston, Baltimore, Austin, Philly, you name it. Basically, a lot of the major cities have chapters.
And do you guys ever have like a summit? Do you all ever get together?
You know, that hasn't happened yet, but you know, we all have these races that we kind of, you know, New York has New York Boston has Boston.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all try and get together during those things. And Philly also has Broad Street, which is really fun. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 10 miler. That's another one I won't get lost doing. So,
so the track workout this morning was good for you.
Excellent. Okay. It was, well, let me caveat that it was very fun.
Yes.
I don't know that my running was excellent.
It's not really about that.
No, fun is good.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, fun is good. But sometimes fun's optional. You can choose it.
Right.
What's the thing? Suffering is optional? No, what is it? What's our phrase?
It's not our phrase.
No, it's not our phrase.
So pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional.
Okay.
Which is usually when I'm about mile 14.
Yeah.
That's how you get through a long run, is you just try and remember that phrase and figure out which way it's supposed to go. That'll last at least 4 or 5 miles.
Which one is optional?
Do you ever do the thing where you try to not think about how much you've already run? Like you try to erase it, like you pretend, like in mile 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or 15, and you say, okay, I'm just starting out, here I go. And I'm going to run these next 3, let's say.
All the time.
Like a little mental reset, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I just do a lot of math. I'm really bad at math, so I try and do math in my head while I'm running, and that usually takes up a good span of time.
Hours, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I pretty much do the same thing. Like, one area I run, it's like 3.5 miles every time I loop around.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like rough it with the math, and I'm like, well, if I do this four times, it's like what, 12? So like,
that's good.
Yeah. So, but then like, I know it's probably more than 12. So I'm gonna surprise myself when I'm done. Like, look how good I am.
Now, have you gotten into the gear? Do you have a watch? Do you have any kind of hydration pack?
I haven't gotten fully into the gear. I have what works for me. Like, I don't have the watch. I really want to get the watch, but money's tight. But I have. Mainly, I have like the gear to just go running outdoors in the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. That's all I like really wanted.
Right, that's what you need to keep
that
it,
is what you
keep
need,
it going. And when I ran my first marathon, I used a Timex watch that was just all it told me was the time, so I knew how far. And then I'd literally get in my car and drive and find out how far I had gone because I was like anti gear.
Right,
I was like I don't want GPS. Right. I don't want any of that.
Right, I was. When I first started, which was about 3-4 years ago, same thing. I didn't have a GPS watch. I would carry a timer, and then I would go to map my run.
Right.
And I would sit there and draw what I think I ran.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, oh, that's close.
Yeah, because
that feels
I'm
good.
Not going to do this again next year.
Yeah.
So why?
Well, like, this
why would I invest anything into it?
Well, and you know, I'm living proof that even if you have a GPS watch, if you get lost, it doesn't really do you much good.
It's not showing you where to go.
It doesn't show me where to go.
It just shows you where you went.
It doesn't tell me when to turn.
Right.
And I've also had that happen where, you know, at Boston especially, I hit the button to record on my watch.
Do it. No, don't
and
do it. No, it's the worst thing
It was
ever.
Like finding signal for the first like 16 miles. And I'm like, finding signal? How can you not find a signal on Boston Marathon Day? I have no idea how fast I'm running. And then I'm like, maybe this is okay.
Maybe I'm outrunning my
maybe
GPS
I'm
satellite.
Faster than I think
you
I
can't
am.
Catch
think positively.
That's actually never my case. I'm never fast. It's fine with me.
So Matt, to date, what's the longest distance you've run?
18 miles.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You're
certainly felt like a lot.
You're totally set. You're totally ready. If you can do 18, you can do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's true.
That really is true.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's runner's math right there. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
First and lesson.
And you like running on the street? Do you ever think about trail running? Is that something you'd want to go to?
I actually prefer more like running. I don't like running when, all right, when you say like the street, like in like the city of Boston, like up and down sidewalks?
No, I just meant more asphalt, somewhere, you know, something that's paved.
Okay. Yeah, I typically do that. I'm comfortable with that. I figure like that's probably the best way to train. There are some days I go out running and I swear to God my feet are just hitting the cement way harder than they should be.
Yeah.
And yeah, those days I get like a little bit nervous. But I spend most of my time training on cement.
Yeah.
I think it's
probably
better.
City running can be tough just because of the crosswalks. The cars aren't so
running.
Although it can be interesting because there's people and there's stuff going on, especially depending on when you run. If you run during the day, there's a lot to look at anyway.
Well, and there's two types of runners in the city of Boston. Those who stop at intersections and those who jog in place at intersections and wait for the red light.
And don't stop the watch?
Correct.
Or there's Peter who just decides to cross
I
at
just,
any moment. He
out.
Never breaks stride.
I never break. I'm like, they'll see me. I'm big. What are they going to do? They're going to hit me? The answer is they'll probably hit me.
So eventually,
I'm trying to be better about that. I'm trying to be. It's not easy.
So Matt, we've actually talked to quite a few people who are in recovery or associated with recovery programs and tied to running. And there really seems to be a connection for a lot of people there. Can you look back and either sort of focus on or tell me what the change has been like for you and especially what you would say to folks who are listening to this and maybe need to reach out or need someone to call or talk to because they need help?
Well, I remember, you know, the several times like where I've hit like bottom and then another rock bottom and then another one, you know, you really feel helpless and you realize like there was just so, how do I put this? I didn't love myself. I really didn't. Like, I didn't care for my health. I didn't really care where my life was going. I just, like, cared where, like, the next party was at. Like, or finding, like, some escape from, like, the reality, like, that this is your life right now. Like, you really have nothing. And, you know, I found, like, once I started running, like, I found it was just, like, these little accomplishments. Like, saying like, okay, like I'm going to get on that treadmill and I'm going to run 3 miles. I'm going to do it in under 30 minutes. And then you complete something like that. And it just, you get that little kind of like runner's high, but like you also realize like, okay, like I can do that. Like I took that to the rest of my life. Like little baby steps will take you miles. Like if I ran 3 miles today, I can run like maybe 3.5, then 4, 4.5, then 5, so on and so forth. So like when I was living in the halfway house and trying to get my life back together, I was like, all right, let's start by, you know, getting a steady job. All right, now I have a steady job. Let's start, you know, looking at going back to school, finding a program that works for me. Let's start by going to the gym and working out 2 to 3 days a week. You know, it takes baby steps and it's hard to kind of get yourself to do it. Like, I think the most important thing too is being able to ask for help. Like, right. I don't like asking for help. I like being a loner and doing things on my own. And sometimes, like, it just, you need to ask for help. I don't know. I'm kind of tripping over my words here.
No, I think that's excellent. Yeah. Do you feel that running helps you reclaim some of that independence, though? Because you have to sort of rely on you, right? You had to dig deep in you to do this next half mile, this next mile.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, I never saw myself being able to accomplish something like running like a 5K or a 10K or, of course, the Boston Marathon. And I look at, like, addiction as a whole and how everybody looks at addiction, that, you know, we don't expect sometimes, like, addicts to be able to accomplish these big things. And it's really nice to kind of see somebody turn their life around and turn around in such a big way. Yeah. And yeah, like when I'm out there running, like I do feel like I've gained like something back. Like, you know, I've gained my health back. Like, yeah.
Have you had the experience of being able to be the person that somebody can reach out to for help, or have you been able to, at this point in your recovery, have you been able to help somebody else to where you are now?
I mean, I certainly am always there for somebody to listen to. I know for myself, I'm still in a very sensitive time in my life. So the best way I could think to get back was to do this. Because I know I'm still trying to put my life together and I still have a whole lot of work to do on me. But, you know, for somebody that is out there struggling, that just really needs somebody to talk to, yeah, I can be there. Mm-hmm. And I think just the most important thing, that if anybody is out there listening that is struggling, you're loved and you matter. So, and that's something that I just need to hear all the time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Elizabeth, what's the best way for people to reach out to your organization?
You can go on our website, which is backonmyfeet.org, and you can pull down and see the Boston chapter. Mm-hmm. Or you can find us on Facebook. We're Back on My Feet Boston. We're also on Instagram, Back on My Feet Boston. You can pretty much find us anywhere. And I'm always running all around the city wearing all my Back on My Feet gear. So you'll probably see me out there putting some miles in as well.
And when are those runs, if anybody was interested in joining or you know, it really wants to come and be a part of it?
So we have our runs are 5:45 in the morning on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We also have one all-women's team that runs at 6:30 out of Rosie's Place. So we will take new members or volunteers. We always are looking for volunteers. You can go on our website and find out how to become a volunteer or even fundraise. So we have people, you know, signing up to help run Boston, but also Falmouth. And, you know, we're starting to gear up training for that, too. So
I want to do that race sometime. I've heard it's great, Falmouth. Is it a good race?
It is. It's always hot.
Is it?
It's always in August.
And it's always hot.
And it's always hot.
I don't know if I want to do that race,
but but it's only 7 miles.
Oh, what? That's still more than
you're
I want to do.
Such a flip-flopper. Is it cheap? That's really Peter's question.
Yeah, I know. It's not the cheap run.
No, the cheap marathon. That's cheap, right. Marathon.
It's not as cheap as a little marathon we go to, which is in Millinocket, Maine.
Where's the finish line? Which way to the finish line?
You can't get there from here.
It's free.
That's right.
That's how I love Millinocket.
My whole family's from up there.
Yeah, I went skydiving up there.
You're kidding
yeah,
me.
Yeah, skydiving, whitewater rafting.
Okay, yeah. After you destroy the Boston Marathon in April, then next on your calendar, Matt and Elizabeth,
that's right.
Is a free marathon.
It's free.
Okay.
In Millinocket,
Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This will be the fourth running of it.
Okay.
And it's a loop, Elizabeth, so you're
I know.
Gonna say,
I was supposed to do it
that's
this
right.
year.
You can't totally get lost.
I know.
Well, you could, actually. If
well,
you just
totally yeah. could.
It's a lot of...
Don't underestimate.
Up on that golden road, anything is possible.
You know, I'm going to put some money down that you will get lost. That's exciting.
You yeah, know, I might have to run it just to take up your bet.
And it's always the second weekend of December. What could be better in Maine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weather's bound to be perfect.
Sub-freezing temperatures
yeah.
and 26.2 miles.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. So I'll definitely see you up there.
That's a verbal.
A,
yeah.
That
nice.
Was a verbal. Boom, there it is. And now, Elizabeth, where... That's awesome. On Marathon Monday, mm-hmm. where will you and your team be? The people aren't running, they're supporting the team. Where do you guys station yourself?
We will have three different cheering stations that we're still trying to figure out right now. But usually we're about mile 18... 20-ish and 23
wow,
and the finish
okay.
line.
Okay. And then do you guys have an after party? What do you guys do? A gathering?
Afterwards, we feed ourselves.
Yes.
Copious amounts of food.
Yes. On board with that.
And pretty much let everybody go on their way because everybody's so tired.
So tired.
And we usually start in the later corrals, so yeah. it's a long haul for everybody.
Yes, it is.
Matt, when you finish a long run,
yes.
what is the meal or the specific food you're thinking about in those last miles? And Ooh. Then you indulge in after a 16 or an 18 mile run.
Yeah, we call it strapping on the feed bag.
Oh, God. Well, let's see.
Strap on your feed bag. Come and get it.
Well, I like to give myself like good excuses to eat like really, really shitty food. So let's see, a couple of days ago last week when I did my long run, I had some Italian, so some chicken parm, some pasta, some toasted raviolis
carbs.
As an appetizer.
Good carbs.
Yeah. Then a couple of weeks ago when I ran 18 miles, I destroyed some fast food. It got pretty ugly.
Are we talking hamburgers? Are we talking fried chicken?
We're talking like two Big Macs, a few cheeseburgers, like some fries.
That makes chicken parm sound yeah. like...
An appetizer?
Yeah. Exactly.
I was really proud of myself. I broke two records. The furthest I've ever ran and the most fast food I've ever eaten in one sitting.
So you got the prize and the
yeah.
Happy Meal.
Yeah. It was great.
You're totally ready for the race. You're fine. Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're going to do very, very well. We'll see you probably that day because we'll be out
we'll
there.
We'll be cheering for you.
Oh,
we'll
thanks.
Be right around mile 20 at the top.
At the top of the hill.
The top of Heartbreak Hill.
So okay. That's my favorite right. spot.
It's a good spot.
Yeah.
It
Perfect.
Can get loud, but it's a good spot.
All right.
And thank you so much. I know you have to get to work today. Thank you for making time.
Well, thank you for having me. I was glad to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing your story and your collaboration with Back of My Feet.
Right. Thanks for having us.
And may you have good weather for the rest of your training.
Oh, thank you so much.
Even if everybody else doesn't have good weather, I hope that, Matt, you have good weather.
Thank you. I hope so, too.
Come on, break.
Here's the story. You're going to go to healthiq.com/HWRT, and most likely you're going to have 33% savings by doing one of the following things.
Peter, that's a lot of savings.
It's a lot of savings.
That's a real deal.
You can either take the Health IQ quiz and score in the elite level.
I did that, actually.
Which I think many of our listeners would do.
I did.
I did. And if I can do that, please. Also, you can take screenshots from some activity tracking apps. That would be your Strava, your Runkeeper, your Nike, your Garmin, Map My Ride, Map My Run. Get in there. Grab the data that you worked hard to have.
That's right.
And let it work for you to help lower your insurance rate.
You put in the miles, you should save the dollars.
HealthIQ.com/HWRT or call them and just mention how was your run today when you speak to an agent.
Just find out if you qualify for better rates. Do it. Save some money.
Huge thanks to Elizabeth and Matt for making so much time with us today. That was great, Brian.
It was great. And if you want to help out Matt's efforts to raise money for Back on Your Feet, you can go to our page, howisyourruntoday.com or hwirt.com, and we will have links to his fundraising page, and you can contribute there. And if you're in the crowd, on the side of the Boston Marathon, or if you're running, give him a pat on the back. Say, go, Matt. It's hard to run your first Boston Marathon, your first marathon, isn't it? You need all the encouragement you can get.
It really is a challenge, and it's never easy, but that first time especially, because there's so many unknowns. I wish him nothing but the best. You, my friend, look like you have a Vinny Cent update that you need to share right away.
My name is Vinny Cent.
Yes, I will only say this. Okay. We are in the brainstorming stages with Vinny Cent. Things are getting exciting. We now have some links and logos to more information about his 30-city tour, why he's doing it. And he is also going to talk about a race that he's doing in March that is really meaningful for him and the woman that he is running with, Sierra. Just stay tuned for more from Vinny. It's going to get good.
But we can start following the scent as of Marathon Weekend. We'll start right here in Boston. Is that right?
Yes. Starting Marathon Weekend here in Boston, that's when the Follow the Scent starts. So included in that is a whole bunch of activities he's going to be doing. So there's the Follow the Scent hashtag where you'll be able to see what he's doing. You might be able to meet him, get a picture taken, get interviewed for this podcast, and have it aired there. So that's exciting.
That is exciting.
He's also going to be holding a running challenge, and we're going to have more about that. We'll be linking to that, and he'll be blogging about it. So it's really going to be a way to have some connection to what he's doing as he comes through a city near you. And to this here show. This little here show.
This little here show. Let's bring that back.
Let's do it. Peter, we're all familiar with words we don't know, maybe that millennials say. But let me bring you back. How far back? Way back.
Okay.
Somebody sent me a list of great words that we don't use anymore, and maybe we should.
Are we trying to bring them back?
I just want to get your reaction.
Let's do it.
This is an 18th century word, fudgel.
Oh, fudgel. Okay, so that is when you're not quite sure if the door jamb will fit when you're building your cabin, and you know what? I'm just going to fudgel it in.
No, it's even better.
Okay.
Pretending to work while actually doing nothing.
Oh, then I fudgel quite a bit. Excellent. Fudgel. Great word.
Groke.
Groke. That is when you touch someone else's food while they've turned away in a restaurant.
Oh, I love that. That we do need a word for that. No, this is someone who stares at you while you eat, hoping you'll share, like what children do constantly.
Oh, my cat does it.
Yes.
Okay.
Peter.
Hello.
This is not something you want on race day. Shiviness.
Okay, shiviness is when you've underdressed and the temperature goes down a little bit and you get kind of chilled out.
Nope, it's the uncomfortable feeling of wearing new underwear.
That should be skiviness. Is it skiviness? Because my dad used to call them skivvies.
I know.
I think it's skiviness.
It's not. Here's a psychological term, dysania.
Or
dysania.
I like dysania better.
Okay, dysania.
I think I suffer from dysania.
Yes, what is it?
I think I have massive disdain for others. And it's like a psychological condition.
Well, that may be true.
I know it is true.
Dysania is the extreme difficulty of getting out of bed in the morning.
Oh, I actually don't have that. You know who has that a little bit? And I only know this from stories she tells, not from personal experience. Social media guru Anna Brooks. She can suffer from that big time. Dysania, is that what you just said?
Yes.
You don't suffer from that, though. You are up with the chickens, literally.
Literally. It's actually the dogs that wake me up.
Dogs and chickens.
Yeah.
Do you think Anna Brooks is going to be okay with me talking about her habits?
Sure.
I don't know.
Peter, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you've never used this word, and you probably should not use it.
Okay.
Calipigian.
Oh, wait. Hold. Calipigian. Yep. I know what that is. Calipigian is the way they used to measure city blocks with the bodies of pigeons. That's how they would...
Like 75 Calipigian?
Yeah. Well, you would calibrate the block by pigeons. Calipigian.
We need a Calipigian... We're building a new section of the city. We need a Calipigian in this area.
Yeah, bring in the Calipigian engineer.
Right.
Now, what does early mean?
No, it's one that's going to get me in trouble, like fit.
Okay.
It is having beautiful, well-shaped buttocks. Calipigian.
Calipigian?
Yes.
You know, my whole situation is I've got nothing back there, right? For a guy my size, I'm anti-Calipigian.
You're anti-Calipigian?
Yeah, I'm not a pigeon.
Cacoethes.
I don't know what it is.
You ready?
Yeah.
Running a marathon could be in this.
What is it again? Say the word.
Cacoethes. I'm sure I'm
Cacoethes?
Or cacoethes?
No, cacoethes sounds like it might be.
The irresistible urge to do something inadvisable.
That's this whole show.
That's the whole deal. That's our whole partnership is cacoethes.
Hey. Remarkably, this has been episode 116 of How Was Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. Special thanks to Boston Chapter Director of Back on My Feet, Elizabeth Carr, and Back on My Feet first-time Boston Marathon runner, Matt Norton.
More information about the February 13th Everybody in Boston Loves to Run Love Fest, Vinny Cent, and anything else you want to know about is available at howwasyourruntoday.com or hwyrt.com.
That's a great title for an event, man.
It is.
Also, try to join us if you can every Saturday on social media, and I'm talking Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for our Sat Stat Chat. Here's the story. We need to know where you are, how your run went, and if it's possible, include a sweet, sweet photo. Something else that's happening is if you can get down to the Boston Public Library when we're here and you have $30 on you, you can buy a sweet, sweet tech shirt. Brian, we had Alexa stop by today. She is a known associate of Corinne, the running unicorn. And she came by today in her running gear. She literally ran here while we were having the interview, and I ran over to the side, and she's now a proud owner of a sweet, sweet tech shirt.
Well, I didn't run here, but I'm going to try to attain the status of Calipigian.
You need a lot of work, because I've seen that stuff.
Do you think that's
there.
Cacoethes?
It definitely is. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That's ridiculous. What, are we doing a word of a day now?
They're funny.
Well, they are funny, but
we'll see.
How Was Your Run Today is a very serious show, and we can't afford to have any...
You can bring anything in.
You can't do the laugh.
Goodbye.
This coffee is extremely hot. I just burned all of my mouth. Not just the front part, all of it.
All the way back to the epiglottis?
My glottis is on fire.